I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The challenge is Iran versus Israel. Over these last days, we've seen the players themselves emerge on the field, looking at each other. Iran, hiding behind its surrogates for 6 months, comes out and fires a barrage at Israel, drones and missiles. With the explanation, this is because you attacked our territory, a sort of embassy in Damascus, in order to target, kill the leaders of the Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthi, Kataib Hezbollah eruption over these last 6 months. So Iran, the mullahs, the original authors of attacking embassies and taking hostages, claim their barrage against civilians was because of the April 1st attack. Israel answered once. I welcome Mary Kissel. Mary Kissel is Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, former member of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, to comment on the Israeli response. It appears it satisfied everyone. The Israelis are satisfied with their strike, and the mullahs have said, we consider the episode closed. No more. Mary, a very good evening to you. My information is what the Israelis did was launched an attack the Iranians did not see, and it took out one Russian-made anti-air unit, just one, in the general area of an air base and in the general area of what are called nuclear sites. That's the Islamic Republic's suspect nuclear weapons program. And everybody stands down. The lesson being, we can, anytime we want, kill any one of you. Mary, is this the end of the matter? What is your measure of these two states? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Always great to be with you. Before I answer that question, I just want to say Iran is not coming out of 6 months behind the veil. It's coming out behind 40 years that they have used proxies to attack Western and Israeli interests in the Middle East and elsewhere. So this really was a momentous change in the threat environment in the region. Now, as to Israel's response to Iran's attack, I think there are a lot of players in the United States, within the Israeli political environment and elsewhere, who want to declare victory and say, let's just all go back to the low-level warfare that we had before October 6th. I don't think that's possible. The question is, what does success mean? Success, I think, for Israel is a removal of the Iranian threat, because Iran and its proxies did not cease to attack Israel and Israel's friends, such as the United States, after this response on Iranian territory. In fact, Iran and its proxies started attacking U.S. troop positions again shortly thereafter. So there hasn't been a significant deterrence. There hasn't been a halt of Hezbollah rockets into northern Israel. There hasn't been the capability of Israeli citizens to move back into those northern territories or the territories bordering Gaza. So I think politically it is tempting to say, we've achieved a sort of equilibrium, but I think that's a false equilibrium if you look at the facts on the ground.
Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program, the JCPOA of the second term of the Obama administration, member of the Trump administration at state, the JCPOA was suspended, made go away, no longer operative, and sanctions, severe sanctions, were then visited upon Iran. My information, Mary, is that those sanctions are not being enforced, and Iran continues to sell oil in great quantity, chiefly to China, our adversary in the Pacific. Your understanding of why is the administration not enforcing sanctions that were clearly working during the Trump administration? Why they backed off?
Well, I think the Biden administration has a fundamentally different view of Iran, the nature of the regime, and the capacity to make peace with it. I think what the Trump administration understood at a very fundamental level is that the Islamic Republic of Iran is a revolutionary regime, and it's expansionist. It's the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. It houses the leadership of Al-Qaeda. It has been appeased in the past and never complied with any agreement it's ever made with any U.S. administration or neighbor. And therefore, we had to exert leverage and pressure over Tehran in order to try to constrain all of its malign activity, either in its neighborhood or near abroad or even further flung places. Recall, by the way, that Iran has launched terror attacks in our hemisphere and attempted significant terror attacks in the United States as well. So that worked, as you say, because we deprived the regime of money to pay its fighters and to buy munitions and other sorts of weaponry. The Biden administration is staffed with former Obama people. It is, in effect, a third term of President Obama. And they simply believe that we must accept Tehran's rise, that we can't provoke it. Therefore, to make peace, we have to appease. And a large part of that appeasement is allowing the regime to make money, not just for the senior leadership, but to fund its militias. And so, the irony, the kind of horrendous irony is that part of it, presumably, was funded by the largesse of the United States not enforcing sanctions. So it's puzzling to me why the White House wouldn't change course, given what's happened. And yet the fear of provocation is so great. The effective deterrence that Iran and its partners have wielded is so large that we are the ones being deterred. And therefore, that's why you see the White House exerting pressure on Israel not to finish the job in Gaza, not to fight back too hard when Iran launches more than 300, rockets, missiles, and drones in its territory. I mean, it's perverse. And unfortunately, it's not going to result in the kind of stable, sustainable peace that the White House says that it wants.
Is it possible, Mary, suggested to me, bottomlessly cynical, that some of the decision-making at the White House is driven by the campaign, and that the Biden administration fears the price of oil going up, Brent crude, and therefore has backed off on the sanctions? Could it be that simple and that cynical?
Well, one would hope not. And I don't want to assume bad intent. It could be that the administration really does believe that the United States is not a positive power for good in the world, and that we must accept the rise of regional powers and simply try to make peace, or maybe, lightly constrain them like Iran in the Middle East and China in Asia. But we are a democracy, and certainly both parties look at domestic politics, and the Democratic Party has a problem. They have a constituency that is large, maybe not large, but certainly vocal, that is pro-Palestinian, that in some respects is pro-Hamas, that believes that, any means necessary to regain their territory is acceptable, that's anti-Semitic, and that is, willing to get out there and, register votes of disapproval in things like the Michigan primary, where Joe Biden received a large portion of the vote, but also there was a large protest vote there against him from the Democrats. So it's clearly a factor, but what percentage of it drives policy is just impossible to say.
The House of Representatives acting pretty much like a disorganized group hanging around the dockside hoping a ship comes in. The ship came in. Amazing. Speaker Johnson delivered the votes needed for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, for East Asia, for other activities, but chiefly the one about Ukraine. So congratulations to the speaker of the moment, because there are always threats against speakership with this small of a difference between the parties in the House. And the aid, we're told, is going to be within days flowing to Ukraine. This looks like good news. Is it, Mary?
Yeah, I think it's great news. It was a bipartisan vote, $95 billion in aid in the House. I think it was about 311 to 112. And I think it demonstrates a couple of things. First of all, that there is still a fairly large bipartisan consensus that it is in the United States' national interest to stop Putin's expansionism in Europe, that it is in our interests to help equip Taiwan to defend itself, should that be necessary. It's also a vote to restock munition stockpiles here in the United States. A large portion of this aid is for our own military. So I think it shows that bipartisanship. And secondly, again, it speaks to the domestic political dynamics of the moment, this time on the right, where I think many Republicans looked at their districts and said, gosh, if we don't vote for this aid and Putin overruns Ukraine and, you know, kidnaps 10,000 more Ukrainian kids and slaughters innocent civilians, what's that going to look like in my district when I go home and try to get reelected? So, you know, a good news story on the bipartisanship, a sort of cynical story on the domestic politics. But in the end of the day, it's the United States that has to lead these efforts, because we have the world's most capable military and we are still the global leader, the world's largest economy. And if we don't do these things, our partners won't do it. I hate that. I don't like it. Ukraine and Taiwan need to build their own military industrial complexes. Ukraine certainly is making a big push in that direction because it faces extinction. You've seen what Israel has been able to do with our assistance. Taiwan isn't there yet. Taiwan needs to do an awful lot more. But in the meantime, we need to support them. Because if the United States doesn't lead, John, and this is something that I think, you know, the parts of the Republican Party, this is a question I can't really answer, is if the United States doesn't lead, we can see very clearly from history that bad actors fill the gap. Doesn't mean that we have to have our troops and people in harm's way everywhere. It does mean that we need to identify who our most important partners are. We need to identify strategic choke points. We need to identify nations that have resources, whether it's human capital like Taiwan or natural resources like Australia and otherwise. And we need to have an offensive plan for foreign policy. It's something that Republicans and Democrats don't do. Everything is reactive and sometimes successful, sometimes not. But we need to clearly identify what our interests are, what our values are, and the most efficient and effective ways to promote those two things. So I think the congressional vote is a good step forward, but it's certainly not enough.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, traveling. And when we return, we're going to join Mary at Northwood University in Midland, Michigan. I'm John Batchelor.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.